Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. So are you prepared now? God always likes to prepare us for things, doesn't he? We prepare for so much in our everyday life. We prepare for meals, prepare to go to work, prepare for just about everything. We prepare for sleep, Matt is saying, yeah. But we need to prepare ourselves when we come to the house of God, prayed up and worship and ready and willing and wanting more of God. Amen? Trust that that's where you are today. Kids can head off to Sunday school. You know, I was thinking this morning, and we prayed on Friday night about the fire, having the fire here, and we need the fire. And I was thinking this morning when I got up about where Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, I remind you to stir up the gift that is in you. I believe that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then God is offering you and has probably already bestowed upon you many things. And as you walk with him every day, you find out that I wasn't able to do that before, but now I can, or I didn't feel I could pray before, but now I can. And you all of a sudden realize there's many things in your Christian walk that are now things that are being accomplished and had in the Christian walk. And so I think that as Paul was saying to Timothy, I remind you to stir up the gift which is in you. I look at people so often, and I pray for backsliders, people that have once known the Lord Jesus Christ, and for one reason or another, and sometimes they're very silly reasons why people walk away from God, the church, and the Lord Jesus Christ. But I pray for them that somehow they would be restored in that place of salvation. So I think that everything that God gives us, even salvation, is a gift. Amen? That when he gives us that and we place it aside, or we lay it aside, or we feel that we can do it from Monday to Saturday without the gift of salvation, we can do it on our own and all that. I believe that you and I need to be reminded to stir up that gift that's in you, that is that gift of salvation, perhaps the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, perhaps a gift of the Holy Spirit which you once had but no longer are using. And so, as I've said before, you don't use it, you lose it. So I pray this morning that there'd be a stirring of the Holy Spirit today, because things can lie dormant. I was looking out the window the other day and thinking, I told Betty, I said, the bush beside it, it's one of those lilac bushes. I love it. In another few weeks, I guess the lilac bushes will be out and that nice fragrance will be floating in the air. But, you know, all winter long, it lay dormant. It was without any buds, any leaves. It was just there, like sticks going up out of the ground. And who would have known it was a lilac bush until those buds come out and those fragrant flowers come out? And I really believe that's the way the Holy Spirit wants to deal with us today. We may lay dormant. We may be looking like twigs, sticks going up in our communities, in our neighborhood and all that. But God wants to put something upon us. He wants to allow the buds to start coming out, because you've laid dormant for too long. He wants to get you to the place to stir up that gift that's in you and get back to the place of walking for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? You know, I was in Ottawa yesterday, and there are now two Mr. and Mrs. Domingos, two couples like that. What a name to bear, a beautiful name. And we were at the wedding, and it was so good, a wonderful wedding. I just rejoiced with it. And good time. But, you know, in between the wedding and the reception, we had a little bit of time to take. And so we decided we were going to go over to Tim Hortons. And I got in there. How many know what Wi-Fi is? And you go in there and you wonder if they have Wi-Fi. Of course, on the door it says we offer free Wi-Fi. So you go in there and you bring up all the Wi-Fi components and see who's there. And all of a sudden, Tim Hortons is there. So I put on that, and it came up with this nice page. And it said, check here if you accept all the rules and regulations of what's going on here. So I'll check it off there, and said, offer your email. Then it said underneath in brackets, optional. I said, no way, they're getting me. And so I didn't offer my email, but I checked it all off. And then at the bottom, it says, okay, connect. And then it comes back up with this wonderful page. It says, you are connected. Wi-Fi, you're in. And I was sitting there thinking, you know, that's just what it's like in this life for Jesus. We come in with all of our baggage, and we come in and we wonder how, and we wonder if, and does God love me? And we go through all the check marks and the things and all that stuff that goes along. And God is just saying, look, I want to connect with you. I want to get you on my page, my Facebook page. I want to get you connected into heaven. I want you to walk with me and know that joy of Jesus. Amen. So anyway, that's my story for yesterday. Hallelujah. Are you having a good week? You having a good morning? Amen. You feel any fire? Amen. Well, I encourage you and I remind you, stir up the gift that is in you. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And it's up to you if you want to stir it up, because he wants to bless you with that and pour upon you every day of your life. Hallelujah. So here we are. Come on, technology. There we go. It says, welcome. Welcome to the house of God. Amen. I look back and I see Rick with us this morning. Good to see you, Rick. I haven't seen you for quite a while. Nice to have you here. And enjoying in the Cornwall Pentecost Church service. Did you know that we go on for 5 hours in a service? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Welcome to each and every one of you and friends of Monty and Patricia. So good to have you here today. And wonderful wedding yesterday, wasn't it? And we all just participants, witnesses of Frederick and Latasha's vows, and we're glad they're married now. Hardly wait to see them so we can say welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Domingo and into the house of God. Amen. Would you turn with me your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12? We had talked prior to Palm Sunday and Easter Sunday about the word of wisdom. And these gifts, as I've told you, are in no certain order. I don't believe that Paul was listing them in any way of order for us to understand or something was better than the other gift. But I want to bring out these gifts to us and help us to understand that there's a next gift on the list, and I've put it up there so you can see. I look at our world right now, and as I'm looking at these gifts of the Holy Spirit, I really believe that these gifts are for the church to be used in the day and age that you and I are living in. I really believe that these are not, as so many people tell us, this was for the early New Testament church. It was only for them, only for the disciples, only for that era. I really believe as they went through persecution, as they went through the battles, and they went through all the things, I really believe that you and I in 2019 are so desperate for a moving of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God that we need the gifts of the Holy Spirit to be just evidenced in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you go through chapter 12, 13, and 14 of 1 Corinthians, you will see some of the rules and the things and how God is not a confusing God to the church, but wants to adopt many great things in the church, and he's got gifts for us. As I said a few weeks ago, I believe that the United Methodist Church is in a real dire straits right now. I've been watching seems like every week there's something new happening with them, and they're on the brink of a split in their movement. And as I think back of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, that's really where our roots was from the Methodists. And as I looked at that, and I'm watching them because, you know, but by the grace of God, there go we. And I'm watching them, and I'm anticipating that somehow Holy Spirit will break through. As I said last two, three weeks ago, we need a word of wisdom for the day and age that you and I are in. We need something to be shouted into the church. Something to be spoken into the body of Christ. I mean, there shouldn't be a split in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If there is, something's gone wrong. I often remember many years ago, before I went into pastoring, that one of our Bible college professors told us, and we were in pastoral theology. I don't know if that's still one of the requirements of going to Bible college, but we would take all the ins and the outs of being a pastor. And this one pastor told us in all his years of experience of being in a board, he said, there's no way I'll come out of a board meeting where we're split. He said, we're going to stay there till we're unified. If it takes 4 hours, 5 hours, 6 hours, we're going to come out of that board meeting unified. And I thought, you know, that's the way it is. Church, get together. If there's a problem in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, let's work it out. Let's get this ironed out. We're not leaving here till we get this worked out. We're going to let the Holy Spirit deal with us You know, somebody needs to change. You need to change. I need to change. I don't know, but we need to get someplace where the Holy Spirit's going to work with us. And I really believe that's where the gifts of the Holy Spirit are coming through for us. And I look at the United Methodist Church, and they are in dire straits of something happening there for them. And as I read the news continually around us, and I saw this just last week, April 23rd, a recent survey given to all the Austin public school students as young as third grade. They told the children, sex is what a person is born. Gender is how a person feels. The survey went on to ask pupils to select whether they feel they are a girl, woman, or a boy, man, or identify in some other way. The test also provided a blank box where students were asked to describe how you identify. The student climate survey was obtained by the Federalist through an open records request, and the Austin Independent School District has been administering the survey to grades 3 to 11 since 2003-2004 school year. As I looked at that, I said, God, where are we going? What's happening? What is the mind of man right now, the heart of man? What's in there? What's going on with our world? And all the things that, you know, when I grew up in society, I never heard of this stuff. You know, the word gay meant you were happy. You know, I look at our world right now and they've taken all those good words and they've just sliced them up and, you know, they take this rainbow. That's what God made a covenant over. They're making it something else. I look at our world and it's, you know, I spoke the last 2 weeks about the Son of God coming into this world, and he was on his mission to seek and to save, going after the lost. And he's still on that mission. And he uses you and I, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're in his mission. We're in his mandate. We're in his statement of which he said in Matthew chapter 28. But, you know, when Jesus finished all that he did, went to the cross, rose from the grave, it was mission accomplished. He sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he's sitting there at the Father, and the Word tells us that he is forever interceding on our behalf. You can read that in Romans chapter 8, verse 34. And Jesus spoke in John and in those great chapters of 14, 15, and 16 when he dealt with much of his teaching on the Holy Spirit. He told them, and I've repeated some of these things, but I want to make sure that we get this through, because Jesus told his disciples, it's to your advantage that I go, because I will send the Holy Spirit. And he sent the Holy Spirit. We realize that in Acts chapter 2. This is the promise of the Father, he said in chapter 1. The promise of the Father, just likened unto John's baptism. But this is a baptism of the Holy Spirit. Will you be filled with power, and you'll be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. And just as we find in Romans, and that I thank God that, you know, I feel so good right now that Jesus is interceding for us. He's at the right hand of the Father, praying over me right now at this pulpit, praying over you as we feel the Word of God and embrace the Word of God and receive it, and not only receive it, but work it into our hearts and trust in it and work it out into the society around us. Amen? So I love that Jesus intercedes for us. And as he told us in John, it was to our advantage that Jesus leave, and therefore he would send the Holy Spirit to us. And notice also, you know, in Romans chapter 8, I love that chapter, but did you know the Holy Spirit is interceding for us as well? Romans chapter 8 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession. Jesus is interceding for the church, but did you know that the Spirit is making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered? Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. That's the Father's heart, if you wonder what the will of God was. That's his heart. And we know, and I love this scripture, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. I get from this when I read this, heaven's behind me. Heaven's with me. We're not alone in this battle. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father praying for you and I every moment of our daily walk. The Holy Spirit is making intercession for us. You can't go wrong with all of heaven behind us. How can we ever say, I wonder if God loves me? He's standing up there, Jesus, at the right hand of the Father. He sits down, stands up. He's praying for us. Sometimes he's clapping for the church. Sometimes keep going. And he's interceding for us. However he wants to pray, he's over us, singing over us, rejoicing over us. You know, whenever you and I speak or testify or do anything for Jesus, there's a force from heaven behind us, with us. The enemy cringes when a Christian walks in the room because heaven's come in. All of the Godheads just walked in that room. Have you ever found that people mock us? You know, just walk into a room or you say something or you don't swear like the rest of them. You don't tell dirty jokes like the rest of them. You're just different, and they don't like you because you're different. And you don't do all the stuff that they do, and they begin to laugh at you and mock you. And sometimes you even get a little bit of Jesus in there. You give them a little bit of cliche. Well, I go to church, and I love church. I love the Word of God. You know, I sing songs about Jesus. I don't listen to that music. I listen to Jesus' music. And they start realizing that you're different, and they just don't like you. They begin to mock you and when we stand for Jesus. And the sad thing is when people mock us, what they're really saying is, I refuse to understand who you are and what you have. That's what they're saying. They don't want anything of God. They don't want the supernatural. They don't want anything that smacks of God. So they scoff at us and they mock us among other things that they do against us in our life. But if unbelievers were to come into a church, on any church service, if somebody who wasn't in relationship with Jesus, they come into church, they can do one of two things. They can either say, this sounds good. This is something that maybe I need. And so they're into that very ingredient of the stirring of the Holy Spirit in their hearts, and they're wondering if this is for them, and they're going through that as the Holy Spirit is interacting with them, and as we preach the Word of God, and as we shower them with love when people come into our church, we embrace them, we welcome them, we talk to them, we greet them in the name of Jesus, and they come into the church, and they're feeling something. I've been told many times as a pastor, I love your church because I can sense the love here. Keep it going, church. Keep it going. When people come through, that's an ingredient that they need to feel when they come through the doors of the church, is to feel that love. So they can start being stirred by the Holy Spirit. And if possible, we're praying that they'll not only get stirred, but they will accept. And so that's one action that they could do. But other people come into church and they cross their arms. And sorry if you've got your arms crossed, I'm not indicating to you. Sometimes they cross their arms and we know exactly, pastor, he's kind of weird. You know, they look at me and then they can walk out of church, and then we become the laughter of Tim Hortons on Monday morning. That guy, you should have heard. Whoa, he calls himself a pastor. You know, and they go through all the contortions and they go through all that. See, you have to understand, and I'm trying to say this in many ways, but church is a spiritual thing. This is spiritual. You cannot compare it to Tim Hortons. You can't compare it to Walmart. It's nothing like Walmart. Not even a shade or an inch. Nothing like Walmart. It's nothing like the supermarket that we go to. You see, that the church is a time of supernatural. It's kind of like, you know, I often talk to people who speak English and French. And I'm just unilingual. I'm English. I've got a little bit of bonjour or au revoir in my heart and language and all that. I can say some of those basic things. But I often talk to people and they're trying to, well, I don't know what it would be in English, or I'm trying to engage back into that language. It's kind of like they're going back and forth. And I really believe that, you know, we kind of have that momentum too. We walk in the world every day of our life. We come into church, oh yeah, spiritual hat. Supernatural. It's hard for us to do. And if we're living a life like that, 6 days of the week walking in the flesh, then we're going to have a problem with church. We're going to have a problem with church. Because, you see, we're supposed to walk in the Spirit on Monday morning. We're supposed to be walking in the Spirit on Tuesday morning. We're supposed to be singing for Jesus on Wednesday morning. And through all the days, we've got to go through all those things because Jesus wants us to walk for Him and to reach this world. So I really believe that God is going to do some great things. Amen. You know, there's It's an old cliche. I remember this many years ago. I think Pastor Bert Lira said this one time, and I wrote it down real quick, and I put it down. He said, you know, if all you got is the Bible, you're going to dry up. But if you have all spirit, you're probably going to blow up. But if you've got a good, even balance of mixture of Bible and the Spirit of God, you're going to grow up. Amen? So grow up in the Holy Spirit. Amen? Church is a supernatural time. Amen. So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I often wonder whenever I get to the Scriptures how long it took me to get there when I tell you I was going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. But I want to get there because I wanted to set this up this morning, helping us to understand that this is a supernatural time for us. We're coming into the presence of God as a collection of body. It's not like we came to church. We as a church came together. And we came from all of our individual lives, and we walked in here ready to allow the Holy Spirit to deal with us, strengthen us, encourage us, embolden us, get us to where He wants us to be for this next day, this next week, whatever we're going to face, because you never know what you're going to face. You never know. So here it is, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just starting at verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. That's the church. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the worship time this morning. It was supernatural. Thank you, Lord, for your word. It's supernatural. How men of old were moved by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's supernatural. This isn't some book that we find in the library, just another book that somebody wrote. This is a supernatural book. It talks to us about a supernatural God. This is a time of the supernatural, Lord. So I pray as I stand here, Lord God, and I bring forth some of the thoughts that you've laid on my heart, the word that you've given to me, the direction that you've given to me, and the direction really you've given to this church. Is that we're living in a day, Lord, where we need the supernatural again. We need Holy Ghost in the church. We need to see something happen, Lord God, to disturb us and wake us up if we need to be awakened. Or like Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you. He reminded Timothy of that very thing. So I pray this morning, whatever anybody in this service needs, whatever it may be, Holy Spirit, you already know what it is, and you're already touching, you're already convicting, you're already dealing with things that are going on in individual lives. So I pray, Lord, make it complete. Don't take a halfway in that person. Don't ever let them to go halfway in you. But God, we want everything there is in you this morning. We thank you, Lord. So we're yours. We're yours. We're yours this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, Pierre said a few weeks ago in one of the Bible studies, the power has to accompany truth. He said that to me. I always write things down because you, just like Pastor Bert Lira said some things I always like to remember, and Pierre does some great teaching on the Wednesday nights. I can hardly wait to get back into that. But the power has to accompany truth. We will find that as we look at this gift of the word of knowledge, that the gift and the gift of the word of wisdom are not far apart. I mean, when you start thinking of wisdom and knowledge, it's kind of like they're in the same boat going across the sea, but they accompany truth. In the book of Proverbs, these two words are plentiful, wisdom and knowledge. You know, as a matter of fact, I went into the book of Proverbs and I put it on my computer in my concordance, so tell me how many times the word wisdom is in the book of Proverbs. 104 times. Amen. Was that a word of wisdom over there? Hallelujah. The word of wisdom in the book of Proverbs is there 104 times. The word knowledge is in the book of Proverbs 84 times. And then I went to a kind of a quick definition in the Concise Dictionary of Christian Theology, and they say wisdom is the ability to discern or judge right or wrong. That's wisdom. Then when you come to the word knowledge, they define it as that which is recognized and understood. Recognized and understood. And you've got to get to the supernatural, you know, to really get, I mean, the wisdom of this world, Paul talks about in the first part of the Corinthian letter about the wisdom that's foolishness. But to God, It's the power of God, His wisdom. And that's what I want. You know, I gave you two good authors last week. One of them was J. Warner Wallace, if you want to do any reading of the resurrection. And he has some great videos, J. Warner Wallace, if you want to go onto his site. He's the author of Cold Case Christianity. And I like some of the things that he gets involved in. He gets speaking sometime. And one of the things came my way this week, and I just looked at it. It was really amazing. You just check it out. I don't want to give it all to you, but he was asked by this group of, it's called an Atheist Christian Book Club. You get that? Atheist Christian Book Club. I don't know what on earth that is, but it sounds pretty awesome. An Atheist Christian Book Club. And anyway, they asked him because he was a cold case detective. And they were asking him, they always try to throw questions at him and everything else, but they asked him, do you ever count the supernatural into any of the cold cases or any crime scenes that you get involved in? Do you ever look for the supernatural? Because in his book, he said, when you get to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have to understand that this resurrection is supernatural. And so they asked him that, you know, when you get to a cold case scene, when you get to a crime scene, or when you're investigating all these things, do you ever look into the supernatural? You need to go on that webpage to find out what his answer was, okay? Hallelujah. So anyway, like when you get here this morning, I pray that you're looking for the supernatural. You're looking for more of Jesus, because today in these gifts, we need to look for the supernatural. Why? Because these gifts are supernatural. Knowledge is not like the knowledge from the world. Wisdom is not like the wisdom from the world. This is supernatural, supernatural to us. So we're looking for the supernatural for us today. Amen? Not of the flesh, but of the supernatural. Read again many of the comments of Paul initially in the 1 Corinthian letter, in the first few chapters, and when he started trying to get to the church because they were all divided. They had the wrong ideas. Some were for Paul. Some were for Peter. This was going on, and they just had some wrong ideas. And he said, look, guys, wisdom is not here. The wisdom that you need to get, and that's why he gets into chapter 12, 13, and 14. You need the gift of wisdom. Of a word of wisdom. You need the gift of a word of knowledge. You need to get to that place. So in our capacity to understand, and I'm very thankful the way God you made you and I. Aren't you glad for your makeup today? He made you to be able to communicate. He made you to be able to reason. He made you to be able to think, understand. He made you like the wisdom to be able to discern or judge right or wrong. Aren't you glad for that today? He gave you knowledge that which you could recognize and understand things. And so it's beautiful the way he's made us. He made us with all these emotions. I like emotions, and I like joy, and I like laughter, and I like all those things. And the ability he's given us. But he's given us this wonderful ability to have a relationship with God. And when you get into that relationship with God and the supernatural, many things come into play in our lives. The word of wisdom, it's a gift indicating to us that it's not full capacity of wisdom, but it's a word of wisdom. It's a word for that very moment. It's not something you carry along in every day of your life. Say, just let me open up my book on wisdom. It's a word that the Holy Spirit drops into your heart in your moment of what you're facing, what perhaps is going on. It's a word of wisdom for that moment that's going to give you direction. Same with the word of knowledge. It's going to give you direction. It's going to give you understanding, because the word knowledge in the Greek is gnosis, which means like a knowledge or a science or a doctrine, or it's wisdom over those things. I like what Perry Stone said about the word of knowledge. And by the way, when I have researched some of these giftings of the Holy Spirit, I have gone through so many authors and so many books, and I'm looking them up, and I've gone through people who lived 80 or 100 years ago when they talk about it, Donald G., Phineas Jennings Dake, Stanley Horton, all these greats that have gone on by the wayside and have written great books on the Holy Spirit. Plus, I've gone through some people who are still living now, and Thomas Trask and Wayne Goodall and many good books written on these things. And I research them. I go through them. But I find some real cliches and good things. But here's something that Perry Stone said about the word of knowledge. He said, the spiritual gift of the word of knowledge is a unique gift that diffuses its receiver with unparalleled understanding and capacity of spiritual content. Knowledge can easily become a stumbling block in the path of any ambitious believer. But this revelatory spiritual gift can also clarify many complicated issues that would otherwise be misunderstood or obscure. I like that. I know it may have been a lengthy definition, but it's something that you and I need to get to the place where it diffuses into its receiver, that unparalleled understanding and capacity of spiritual content. Amen. I like that. Spiritual content. The gift of the word of knowledge. Hallelujah. For to one is given the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Not a gift of knowledge, but the gift of the word of knowledge. So, what is the word of knowledge? The word knowledge is in the New Testament 52 times in 51 verses in the word gnosis. And as we said in previous message, not all believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit, right? Many people do not believe the Holy Spirit infilling baptism is for today, with the accompanying sign of speaking in tongues. They do not believe in miracles. They choose not to believe in healings. They give and take in the Word of God what they choose to believe, and they siphon everything out. I can remember a Baptist minister many years ago. I'm not trying to pick on a Baptist church, but he got filled with the Holy Spirit. But he came and testified. He said, you know, when I was standing at the pulpit, I didn't believe in the Holy Spirit. It was like I took a razor blade to my Bible. Oh, cut that one out. That's Holy Spirit. He said, I just have all these chunks on my Bible that I wouldn't dare preach on. I wouldn't speak upon. I wouldn't tell my people about. He said, I was afraid to go to them. I was afraid of the Holy Spirit, afraid of these things. He said, it was just like, you know, cutting that, we'll take that out and everything else. He said, what am I doing? This is the Word of God. And so he had to get to the place of saying, if this is from you, God, I want it. And he opened himself up for the Holy Spirit. And you know what? He was asked to leave the church as the pastor of that church. But I realize that complication comes around the supernatural. You know, we live so much in the flesh. To step into the Spirit is complicated. It's hard. It's difficult. But we're challenged to, we're pushed and prodded to get to that place in our life. You know, and as we get to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and in particular the word of knowledge, you know, some have even looked at this and said, we can write this gift off too, because they look at it in some way that this is a gift of knowledge of the Bible. Really, that what Pastor, you're off base, you know, because really when you get to the Bible, this gift of the word of knowledge, this is a gift of knowledge of the Bible. So it's people who know their Bible really well. That's what they're trying to tell us. So we Pentecostals, we people who believe in the moving of the Holy Spirit, we're off base here. We don't really understand what this means of the gift of the word of knowledge. So they write it off and they put their good definition to it and they put it in their box. And I think that they've gone the wrong way because they look at it, you know, Paul encouraged Timothy many times to make sure that he was rightly dividing the word of truth, not to be ashamed about it. You know, we read the Bible, we take it in, but we can't say, well, the gift of the word of knowledge is just that you know the Bible better. Or they come along and say, or this is a gift of understanding the Bible. You guys, you Pentecostals missed out. This gift is really a gift of understanding the Bible, because just like John read this morning, when you read some of those verses and it seems kind of complicated, you know, that when you fall into diverse troubles, count it all joy, like it sounds pretty weird. So I need to understand that. So this really is a gift to be able to better understand the Bible. So they say. I don't believe that, do you? Or this is a gift of intellectual ability. Oh, wonderful. A professor at Bible College would have this gift. They have intellectual ability. Those who are on the front lines of the doctrines of the Word of God, they would have this gift of intellectual ability. Wow. I thought it was for the church. I thought it was for every born-again, spirit-filled believer. I didn't know I had to be an IQ of over 100, because if that's the case, I'm left out. Do you agree? Yes, sound like Louise agreed. Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, We got to understand what this gift of the word of knowledge is, because I want to give you some interesting things, because really, when we get to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we think it's only from here on in, but really, did you know that all the Bible shows to us some different situations where the gift of a word of knowledge came through? You know, as you look back with some of the cases in the Old Testament, you'll find out the Elijah and the Syrian army. You probably read that story many times, where the Syrians were secretly planning to invade Israel, but Elisha, he received this knowledge of the revelation of their plans of them wanting to invade and attack Israel. As a matter of fact, if you were to go back into 2 Kings chapter 6, you'll find out it happened two times that he received the word. And this king of Syria thought, you know, somebody in our rank is a mole. There's a traitor in the midst, because every time I plan something, everybody knows about it. But Elijah was getting dropped as he went into prayer, as he was speaking to God. God dropped this nugget of what was happening. And so he thought it was somebody really that was a mole in his midst. But then somebody said, no, it's the man of God. It's Elijah. He knows all your plans. And so he sent off the soldiers to go and arrest Elijah, because we don't need a guy telling everything that we're going to do here. We need to get rid of this guy. And if Elijah had a revelation of those two plans, he also knew of their plans to come and get him. Isn't that great that the word of knowledge comes to you? And you know the story that when Elisha and his servant Gehazi were there in the field, and it says all of a sudden all the forces surrounded them. Elisha was standing there and said, no problem. And Gehazi said, excuse me, can you see? They're all around us. But he wasn't in the supernatural. Because, you know, this is what Elisha said. Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Hallelujah. The angels were there, and so he opened up his eyes, spiritual eyes, and all of a sudden he realized that all his angels were around them there fighting on their behalf. And you got to understand that the word of knowledge gives information that is otherwise not known to the individual. So he drops it in your lap. They're plotting against us. They're doing these plans. How about the time of the discouragement of Elijah? Remember Elijah called down fire and tremendous scene that all of a sudden, after all this beautiful thing where the prophets of Baal were laughed at and the fire came down and licked up the altar and everything else, and Jezebel shouted out, Elijah, I don't like you. I'm going to get you. And so Elijah started running. I mean, this guy calls down fire. Then he runs from a woman who says, I'm going to kill you. You know, I don't get it. Anyway, you know the story that he ran into the wilderness and he got under a broom tree. He needed to be swept out of there. But he got under a broom tree and he went to sleep. He felt all alone. He was sitting there crying. He even wanted to die. That's too much for me to handle. He went into a cave after that, and the Lord asked Elijah, what are you doing here? Read that. It's really interesting. What are you doing here? So he went out in front of the cave, and he stood there. And God is telling him about the rain that's going to start happening. And he says, you look up in the sky. Do you see a cloud? No. You tell the servant, go look and see if I see a cloud. And all of a sudden, there's an earthquake. All of a sudden, there's a wind. All of a sudden, there's the fire that comes down, all that. And then all of a sudden, God is in the still, small voice. And he's speaking to you. So a word of knowledge was given in information to Elijah. Isn't that beautiful? And then you go over to the New Testament, and here comes Jesus with his disciples, and they're all hungry, and so they're crossing by Samaria. And anyway, they don't have any food, so Jesus sends his disciples into Samaria, and they go to get some food, and all of a sudden he comes by Jacob's well, and there he is at Jacob's well, and a woman comes to get some water and says, could you give me a drink? What? You're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. This doesn't happen in normal situations. And so Jesus is talking to her, give me a drink. And you know the conversation to go back and forth, and he tells her about living water. But then he says to this girl, go call your husband and come here. And she says, I don't have a husband. You've answered rightly, because you've had five husbands, and the man you're living with right now is not your husband. Wow. I perceive you are a prophet, she says. I think something's going on here. Weird. How does he know it? I mean, I didn't see Jesus going through my town. Was he at our family supper last week? How does he know what's going on? Like she is just mesmerized by all this and understand this. It's because he revealed something unknown to her. It was a word. See, God chooses at times also to hide things from us. If you were to go back and look at a story of Elisha, where he was going to this woman at Shunem and came to this couple, and she had no child. And so Elisha said, this time next year, you're going to have a son. And so the next time this year, she has a son. And the son, birth, grows into this world, gets going. All of a sudden, one day, he goes out to see his dad in the field. And he says, oh, my head is aching, my head, the pain. And the father carries the son back to the house. And he dies. The woman says, that prophet, he told me I would have a son. And here the son that I've got has died. So she runs after the prophet Elijah, and the servant, they're both looking at her coming. And now when she gets to the very place where he is, now when she came near to the man of God, it says on the hill, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 27, she caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to push her away. But the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is in deep distress, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. See, God sometimes tells us, and God sometimes doesn't tell us. That's why we're in the supernatural. We have to rely upon him for every moment of what happens in our lives. You know, there's some great purposes of the word of knowledge, you know, that you and I, we need the word of knowledge today. We need the supernatural. We need this in our lives. We need it in the church. You know, here's some good things, and these are not all the benefits or the purposes of the word of knowledge, but here's some things to think about. See, the purpose of the word of knowledge is to reveal secrets as a sign to the unbeliever. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 24 says, but if all prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Isn't that amazing? And so the secrets of his heart are revealed. In other words, the Spirit of God is speaking to him. It's all been revealed. So thank God. Unbelievers, come on in. We welcome them to the church. Amen. Something's going to happen when unbelievers come in here. How about a warning of coming judgment? I really believe this is powerful because recall when the angels were talking with Abraham and they were kind of talking away. Then they says they went a little bit away and they started talking about Sodom and Gomorrah. They said, should we tell him? And Abraham overheard them talking, and so he heard what was going on, and he wanted to know what the word was that they were talking about. And you and I need to know what the word of God is because it's coming judgment. Amos chapter 3, verse 7 says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. Remember Jonah? He went to Nineveh, and he said to them, you got 40 days to repent before the destruction of Nineveh. Then Jesus warned of the destruction of Jerusalem. Brick upon brick will be torn down. He warned of their destruction in Matthew chapter 23 and 24. Why the word of knowledge would be given in judgment? Why does the judgment come out? Why do we have the word of God saying that the tribulation is coming? Why are we given this information that the end times are on the brink of coming into this whole wide world? Jesus is coming back. Why? To make sure that mercy is known before the judgment comes. So that we can get mercy out to those and let them know that Jesus loves them so very much that it's not too late. If you're still here, you need to know Jesus Christ now. We need to get to them to give them a time to repent before the judgment comes. I want to make sure that people don't have to go through that 7-year tribulation. I don't know about you. I don't want to go through it, and I don't want anybody in my family to go through it. I don't want them to face those things. And so I really believe that that's why God has given us his word of the judgment. It's impending. It's imminent. It's coming. But he's giving the world time to repent before the judgment comes, to rescue the righteous out of the judgment, to rescue them out of the judgment, to save them from the time of tribulation. Thank God that we've got the message of salvation to rescue them. Amen. How about this? To expose a dangerous sin. You remember Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 where God is speaking to this man. He's saying, "Yo, just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. Everywhere the sole of your foot treads, that's yours. It's promised land. I will be with you. Be strong and courageous." Amen. So he went. Joshua says, "Wow, I've got all heaven behind me. The commander of the host is with me. I can do anything." If he could use that scripture, he could say, "I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me." But he was there in that very place of leadership, wondering how to do it. But he said, "God said it, let's go for it." And you know the story about Jericho, the very first place they went to, around the walls of Jericho, around the walls of Jericho. Hey! And it came down. Defeated the whole place. It was done. It was a done deal. Just like God said, their eyes were all bug-eyed. "Wow, look at that. God's right. It's ours." And they saw that. But then the second city came along. It had two letters in its name, A-I. Two vowels. A-I. They went in confident. "Well, we took Jericho and they had big stone walls. Should be a snap for Ai." So they went in there and all of a sudden they were running back and some of their soldiers were killed. If you read in Jericho, none of the soldiers were killed for Israel. But in Ai, soldiers were being killed. And they wondered, "What's going on? What's going on? What's going on?" So Joshua was a little angry at God, but God gave a word of knowledge. Drop that word into him. "You know what I told you, Joshua? Don't do this. Don't take any of this stuff." But somebody had hidden it. You know about the guy named Achan had taken a Babylonian garment and some gold bars and he hid them in his tent. And so that stopped the blessing of God. So I really believe that the word of knowledge is to expose a dangerous sin. Did you know there's people around us that need to be told about the dangerous sin they're living in right now? And even in the church, we need a word of knowledge for this day and age. Hallelujah. How about to warn of satanic setups? Have you ever felt being set up by Satan? Happens. I'm thank God that Jesus said it's to your advantage that I go. Because when I think of that word advantage, it shouldn't just be for one instance of to your advantage that Jesus goes, we get the Holy Spirit. I'm under a constant advantage because of Holy Spirit. I've got an advantage every day I wake up in this world. Every day I live, there's an advantage to being a Christian. There's an advantage to being born again, Spirit-filled, in love with Jesus, and walking with Him and talking with Him along life's narrow. There's an advantage of this. So you and I have an advantage over the enemy. You know, this is a brilliant plan of God. I love this because, you know, just the same way as the devil took Jesus out in the wilderness and tried to throw things in his face, the devil takes you and I in every day of our life, basically, and tries to throw things in our face. But this is a brilliant plan of God because as we look at Jesus, how he said, "You shall not live by all the words of mankind, but thus you shall live by the words of God." And so he threw that in Satan's face. And you and I have the word of God. It's a supernatural book. And so we have a supernatural plan. And it's a brilliant plan of God. All you have to do is walk in the Holy Spirit. Did you know that in God's omniscience, he knows everything. He knows all about the plans of Satan. He can't pull a fast one on God. God knows all the plans. He knows that Satan's plotting to get you a Monday morning. He's going to thwart the plans of Satan because he knows that if Satan can stop you from going to your co-worker and telling him about Jesus, that co-worker is going to get saved. So he says, "That's it. I'm going to really do a number on you." When you went to work on Monday morning, God says, "No, I know your plans. I want that guy saved. That's the will of God. He wants him saved." So he's going to destroy all of Satan's plans. So you and I have this wonderful ability and brilliant plan of God that we've got an advantage over the enemy through the word of knowledge that God will lay into our heart on Monday morning that thus saith the Lord, go in and witness to that man right now, right now. And so you go and witness to that person. You realize that God was with you. God was walking with you. God was talking through you. And Satan's out there, "I can't get in. I can't get in." That's right, because God overruled you. Amen. Hallelujah. See, it requires wisdom to know when, where, and how to release the word of knowledge. So these two gifts go together. It requires the message of Holy Spirit working through us as He wills at that particular moment in our lives. It requires us to be open and sensitive to the Holy Spirit every day of our lives. It requires us to be mobile for the Lord moving in His will and His way. Amen? Hallelujah. So let's go back to the Bible for a few moments, okay? To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another. And we often look in church, well, it must be them. I added into the scripture, to another, 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 to another. This isn't one person. This is the church. And to another, and to another. It's like building blocks. The Holy Spirit is building His church, and He's doing all kinds of great things. So what does it mean, really, basically, when you get down to it? What does it mean to have the word of knowledge? Is this for people who are wise and smart? In which case, I'd be excluded. You know, I was talking to Louise yesterday, and you brought up about this lady, and we were talking about Catherine Kuhlman. I thought that was kind of a confirmation that I wasn't sure if I should put her picture up here or not. Anybody ever heard of Catherine Kuhlman? I watched her on TV. I never went to any of her services. I was probably just spreading my Pentecostal roots at that time, and I was terribly afraid of Holy Spirit, so I would never go to a Catherine Kuhlman service. I can remember when Betty first took me to a Pentecostal church, I told her, get me out of here. And if she ever said, would you like to go to a Catherine Kuhlman service, I would say, are you out of your mind? But if you've ever seen any of the services of when she was alive, if you ever attended any of the services, that she was given this wonderful gifting of a word of knowledge, that she would be in a service and all of a sudden there's somebody in the balcony that has stomach cancer, and she would call them out. And there would be somebody there that had stomach cancer, call them down, and they would be healed. I mean, that would really, anybody who doesn't believe in the giftings of healings or anything else for this day, that would have really shocked their mind. She would just call them out. She had this supernatural ability, supernatural gifting to be able to call them out in the crowd. And she felt that God was speaking in that particular moment for a particular purpose and a plan or a disease or something else. And so she moved in that gift. And maybe we don't know that more is involved in this gift in the really the sense of what she did. But we may be convinced that these gifts are very rare. You know, it was just for Catherine Kuhlman or Bill Prankard or somebody else that we know that, you know, it kind of moves in those areas. But I think that we've kind of limited ourselves and we kind of pointed our finger across and said, well, it must be for them. It must be for them. But it says in another and another and another. I believe it's for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we see tongues and prophecy perhaps more often in our midst, but the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. When was the last time you really heard a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom in any church service? I like what George Wood, he was the past general superintendent of the Assemblies of God in the States. He said this, the reason why we may think that they are fairly rare in our services is that they could be occurring quite frequently, but we just do not identify what's happening with a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge. In fact, we could be in the place where was that a word of knowledge? I don't really know. It's kind of like, you know, you're still trying out the gifts. You're still trying to get to that place. But we may use different terminology. I like to understand that word of knowledge is just something that you and I need to trust and obey. Remember 2 weeks ago on Palm Sunday, Jesus looked at his disciples and said, go into the village, you will find a man carrying a pot of water. Follow him. He will lead you to his place where the colt is tied. Ask the man that the Lord has need of him, and he will give it to you and bring it back to me. Now, if you and I were in a church service and I said to you, go across the street, you'll find a lady in a red dress. Ask her to come over and do this, and she will give you $100, and then you come into the church and put in the offering plate. And you would look at me, finally he's lost it. I knew it was going, but that's it. I don't know what was going through the mind of those disciples, but you know, they've been following Jesus, and this was getting towards the end of his ministry days. And for Jesus to say this, just go into the village, you'll find a man carrying a pot of water. He'll lead you to the cold tide. Ask him that the Lord has need of it, and he'll give it to you. Can you imagine that? And they went. And as I look at that, that's why I put this down, because we'll get something dropped into our heart that will be, wow, that must be off the wall. That sounds crazy. Oh, I don't know if I could do that. Ooh, is it God? Is it not? You know, and we kind of go through all those contortions. When you get something like that, the word of knowledge, I just want to give you two words, trust and obey. That's what the disciples did when they heard Jesus saying that to them. There's, okay, let's go. And they found the man walking, had a pot of water, led them right up to the colt tied there. They said, the Lord has need of the colt. Can you imagine their faces when they're walking back? Wow. Can you imagine the faces of people when they start hearing what God is doing? When we get that word of knowledge, when we get led, when we trust and obey. You know, I just want to put this down. This is my last word, if the worship team would come. If you are moved by God, then step out in faith to believe it. Okay? Now, you may be saying, well, I never get moved by God. Then I would say, you begin to pray because God wants to move us. God's a God of action. God wants to do things. So if you're not feeling anything, something needs to be done in your individual life. Something needs to be repented of, perhaps. Something needs to change. Maybe God is even saying to you right now what God needs to change in your life, because God wants to do great things, and to another, and to another, and to another, and to another. God wants to drop a word of knowledge into our hearts. Because if you are moved by God, when he drops that nugget into your heart, then step out in faith to believe it's from him. Amen? That's what the supernatural is all about. Flesh says, no way. Supernatural says, let's do it. Let's give it a shot. Let's go for it. Let's step out in faith and believe. Would you stand with me this morning? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. How many would like to see this gift in operation in the church? I see a lot of hands going up. Now, I didn't trick you in any way, but if you want to see it move, happen in the church, you know what happens when you just raise your hand? That means, oh, God said, hey, I saw that hand go up. I saw you desiring to have that gift in operation in the church. You know, and you say, oh, I wish somebody would go to my brother and my sister and get them saved. God says, you look like a pretty good person to go and get your brother and sister to know Jesus. I like to see the gift of the word of knowledge moving in the church, Jesus. Oh, you would you? Then be open. Be open. Father, I pray right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you for the listing of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. These are incredible gifts. These are dynamic gifts. These are gifts for the operation, for the movement of the church, the Holy Ghost reception, and doing all the things that need to be done inside and outside of the church. These are things that Christians need these days. Holy Ghost moving people need to get these gifts into their heart and soul. We can no longer be bystanders or onlookers. We need to be people saying, God, I think that this church needs this gift, and I'm willing to step out in faith and say, God, if you want to drop a word of knowledge into my heart, my life right now, go ahead and do that. And help me to understand that you're going to say it to me in a way that's a drop of a nugget, that something needs to be done, perhaps in our individual lives or in our church or somebody around us. God, drop that word of knowledge into our lives right now so we would understand that and trust and obey and do it. Praise God. I ask that, Father, as pastor of this church, Lord, asking that, start with me. Use me. Use me, Lord God. Here I am standing at this altar this morning. I'm saying, God, use me, use me, use me. Lord, drop a word of knowledge into my heart, my life. God, I'm open. I'm ready. I want to do what you want to do. Church, would you come and stand with me this morning? If you want a word of knowledge, if you want to open yourselves up to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, if you want to see God drop a word of knowledge, just like he did with Elijah, just like Jesus demonstrated, don't you want to be like the Bible? Don't you want to see things happening in your life just like the Bible? Don't you want to see the Bible come alive in your heart and life? It's not a book to be read. It's a book to be worked. It's a book to take into our lives and to say, God, this was for then, but it's for now too. So we need this, God. We need this, God. So we stand at this altar this morning, Lord, and pray, God, use us. Use us, Lord God. Holy Spirit, we know that you're interceding for us with groanings right now. We know that you're interceding just like Jesus at the right hand of the Father, interceding for the church right now. He wants the church to work. He wants the operation to go forward. He wants to mobilize his church. He wants to use a dynamic force in our world. Canada needs a lively church. Canada needs a church on fire. God, we need to hear a nugget. We need to hear a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom from God Almighty for such a time as this. We pray for the United Methodist Church in the States. We pray for it all around the world. They're in battle right now. I pray, raise up some warriors in the United Methodist Church, Lord God. Let them hear from heaven, Lord God. Drop a word of knowledge into their lives right now, Lord. Into the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, drop a word of knowledge into our leadership and our people that lead our facilities, into pastors' heart, into board members' hearts, into the church's heart, Lord God. Drop those nuggets of the word of knowledge, Lord God. It will only define and better the church, Lord. So we praise you, we praise you, we praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We give you glory, Lord. We give you glory. Hallelujah. 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 Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Unity dwell. Hallelujah. Amen. A place where anointing oil. You feel it this morning? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah.
You have called us to be a body. You have called us as friends. Join together. Thank you, God.
So, you step down in faith. You have a word. Amen. 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 Anybody else? Anybody else? You stepped out in faith. Maybe God is dropping something right now, in a moment. God is telling you something, showing you something, giving you that nugget. Anybody at all? Like, we didn't come up here to be brick walls. He's breaking the dividing walls. Okay. You just want to talk to me? Go ahead and sing the next verse. Anybody have a word? You know, I've found over the years that sometimes you can get the craziest things happening. Remember back in Havelock, God told us, you know, because we lived in a small community, it seemed like every church had bells. And we didn't have any bells in the Pentecostal church. And God told us to get bells ringing. And we brought that out in the congregation. And everybody came in on Sunday morning. They had cowbells, they had dinner bells, they had everything else. And like, and they said, everybody felt comfortable ringing a bell inside the church. Say, hey, no, did you notice that bells ring outside the church? So we all went out and stood in the corner, and 11 o'clock, church started. We were out there ringing the bells, just ringing the bells. I had a great big cowbell, and people were driving by and looking at us. We were ringing the bells and letting them know that we were alive, because people needed to know. They see four walls of a building, and we were looking at them, ringing bells and waving them. Come in, come in, come in. Just a word of knowledge. I mean, you may think that's crazy. I had a little bit of an inclination that way too when I started ringing the bell. But I thought, God, this is what you're doing. And we saw a move of God in Havelock like we never saw before. God's brought people in. Church of 30 people went up to over 100 people. We saw a Sunday evening service go from 13 people to 80 people in the evening service. We saw a dinner time for the people of the communities come in. We had a great time, soup kitchen. We went to Baskin Robbins, and Baskin Robbins saw that we were so active. They took, you know, the big Baskin Robbins, the tubs. At the end of the tub line, they would change the flavors of the Baskin Robbins, and they would take an inch off to make sure the last flavor didn't get into this new flavor. And so they would have that tub there of the inch taken off the top. And they said to us in the Pentecostal church, could you use these tubs with the inch off the top? I said, could we use the ice cream? Yes. We started serving the community. Come on in for some Baskin Robbins ice cream. We had people come in. It was amazing. All because we started ringing bells outside the church. So whatever it may be, however crazy it may seem, listen to what it is and speak it forth, because it just may be a confirmation to somebody else in that very situation. Amen. So let's break dividing walls. Hallelujah. We will break dividing walls. We will break dividing walls. We will break dividing walls. In the name of your Son, we will break dividing walls. We will break dividing walls. And we will be one. We will break dividing walls. We will break dividing walls. We will break dividing walls. In the name of your Son. Hallelujah. You have a prayer. You want to pray? I want everybody here.
Amen, amen. I have a prayer. I break right now in Jesus' name every wall that Satan has kept you captive. In Jesus' name, I break them and I throw them to the ground. There are no longer walls. They are no longer affecting you because the Holy Spirit is coming in.
Hallelujah.
Coming in and bring you life and life abundantly.
Praise God.
Giving you words of knowledge and words of wisdom because we are standing in the Lord today. In Jesus' name, I pray.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're having a good time with Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's good to break down those dividing walls in here, everywhere we find them. Dividing, dividing, dividing. God saying, no, unity, 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 unity. Bring together, bring together, bring together. So we're breaking dividing walls. I sense it this morning. And now I would like us to go and break bread together. Amen. Have some fellowship and go over there. Who knows what may happen on the other side of the wall here? God may drop a nugget into your heart and your mind and bless you so abundantly. So let's go sit around tables. Before we go, let me bless the food because I can see a lot of hungry people. Father, I thank you for this time together. Thank you for church. Thank you for our fellowship. Thank you for every blessing you give us. You are such a wonderful God. We love you so very much. And as we go over to the Bussey Hall, Lord, we pray that you would just bless our fellowship. Thank you for the food that's come in. Thank you for the hands that prepared it. And may we just have a joyous time of fellowship together as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, Jesus. And it's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.